Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. I think I'm on here. All right. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4. We continue our study in the book of Nehemiah. Tonight, the title is, For What Dost Thou Make Request? For What Dost Thou Make Request? And we find that in verse 4, which is our text, Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight as we look through these verses. I pray that you will challenge us with your word. I pray you'll speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that we will recognize that we need to have a prayer life where we need to walk with you daily. We need to have your attention at all times and Lord, have your have you included in all of our conversations. Please, God, give us some things tonight that will help us in our Christian life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, we talked about Nehemiah's countenance. And we talked about how his countenance got the king's attention. Nehemiah has been praying and mourning and fasting, the Bible says. We find that in chapter 1, where he sat down, he wept, he mourned certain days, he fasted, and he prayed before the God of heaven. And then as we come to chapter 2, we find that he's been doing that for almost 4 months. Just about 4 months now, he's been praying, fasting, weeping, and mourning. And we noticed last week his countenance. You know, God, we're always waiting on God to send thunder and lightning and write a message across the sky. And there's the answer to my prayer. But in this case, it was just the countenance of Nehemiah that got the king's attention. And we talked about that, how the queen was there, and the queen, I believe, pointed out, you know, this man looks like he's troubled. He looks like he's maybe going through a tough time or something. And that got the king's attention. And Nehemiah's about to get his prayer answered. Are you listening? 4 months. All right? You know, phooey on the kind of Christianity that says, well, if I don't get it in a day or two, I'll just quit praying about it. That isn't going to work, and that's why you don't get much. Amen. I mean, God sometimes will answer prayer fast. Sometimes God will answer that prayer right away. But many, many times, we're going to need to pray and fast and weep and beg God, and that's when we get our answer to prayer. Number one, tonight I want you to see God's provision. God's provision. You'll notice in verse 4, the king says, For what dost thou make request? And I love it. Again, let's go back to this time. Let's go back to the king here is a Persian king. And he is a very important person, obviously, as a king. And God obviously is providing the answer to Nehemiah's prayer here. If you think about the Persian king, Artaxerxes, and how you know, he doesn't have to give Nehemiah anything. He doesn't have to even pay attention to Nehemiah. He's already given Nehemiah a good job as a cupbearer. He doesn't have to pay attention to Nehemiah. But all of a sudden, he's noticed Nehemiah's countenance. God has spoken to his heart. God's about ready to do something. How did the king even know Nehemiah had a request? I have read this over and over and over and over and over. All the king does is he says, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? And Nehemiah says, Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Has Nehemiah requested anything yet? Has he indicated that he wants something from the king yet? No, the king came to Nehemiah, not Nehemiah coming to the king. What was Nehemiah doing? He was just doing his job. He's a cupbearer. He was working. He was just working his 8-to-4 job. That's all. He was the cupbearer. He went to work. Might have been spending a little overtime. I don't know. But he's just doing his job. Are you listening? For 4 months he's been praying. For 4 months he's been fasting. For 4 months he's been weeping. For 4 months he's been mourning. But you've got to understand, how did the king know there was any request? Nehemiah hadn't come to the king. The king came to Nehemiah and asked the question, "For what dost thou make request?" And I love that. Absolutely. Have you ever prayed for a raise and begged God for a raise or begged God for a promotion and ask him week after week after week, "God, I really would love you to do this. God, please do this in my life. God, please open this door. God, please make this happen. God," and all of a sudden your boss calls you in to his office and your boss says to you, "You know, we've been kind of watching you," and you say, "Oh." And he says, "No, really." He says, "We've decided to give you a raise." Now, isn't that good stuff? That's exactly what happens here. "For what dost thou make request, Nehemiah?" Look at Proverbs 21:1. Keep your place in Nehemiah because we just started. Proverbs 21:1, you know this verse. You've got it memorized, many of you. And we like it. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord." Why do we forget that? "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." Now, I'll be honest with you, folks. We, you know, the world uses terms like luck and circumstance and those kind of things. We don't believe in that stuff. We don't even believe that's possible. I don't even consider those kind of things. I believe with all my heart God provided the answer to Nehemiah's prayer right here. "For what dost thou make request?" And you know why he asked that question? Because his heart was in God's hand. God was twisting it. That's why I'm not worried about the election. Now, I'm not excited about the choices. I'm like everybody else. I mean, I'm watching things. I'm keeping track of things. But to be honest with you, whoever the president is, first of all, we deserve it. Amen. Second of all, God's still in charge. And I like that. You know, he turns that heart whichever he wants it to go. And here he's turned that heart toward Nehemiah. He's turned the king's heart toward Nehemiah. There is no reason in this world other than the providence of God, how that God has provided a king who is affiliated with Esther, who has a soft spot in his heart for the Jews, and now a soft spot in his heart for Nehemiah, because our God put that spot in his heart. And our God can put that soft spot in the heart of those who are around you if you would spend 4 months praying. Amen. A king, are you listening, Brother Denias? It's so good. A king, the king of, I mean, I'm talking about a king, says to a cupbearer, "What can I do for you?" Can you imagine the king says to his cupbearer? I mean, do you understand? That's an important position. Because the cupbearer, he's going to taste the drink to make sure that it's not poison. You know, he's going to drink it first. And if it's poisonous, obviously he'll die and the king won't. But he's going to be entrusted with that. He's going to make sure that's always right. He's going to make sure whatever the king is served right to him. But you have to understand, there's cupbearers all over the place. There's only one king. And the king says to the cupbearer, "What can I do for you?" Now that's God. That's God working. That's God putting this thing together. It's absolutely amazing. Let me show you something again. Go to Esther 4. I can't help it. I just get excited about this, and you don't look excited yet, so I'm going to talk to you about it. Esther chapter 4 and verse 11. "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days." This is Esther. We made reference to this last week. Do you understand? You don't just walk up to the king and say, "Hey, king, I need to go build the walls." You don't even walk up. It doesn't matter. Whatever the request, you don't just walk up, "Hey, Artaxerxes, hey, you and me, let's hang out a while." You just don't do that with the king of Persia. You don't do that. It's just unheard of. Esther was scared to go to the king. And if the king doesn't hold out the scepter, she dies. I mean, we've read this over and over in the book of Esther, but we don't think about Nehemiah here. He's a cupbearer. And the king is saying, how can I help you? Tell me what I can do. I just want to be a blessing to you, Nehemiah. Absolutely amazing. But I'm going to tell you something. It would be that way in your life. It would be that way in my life if we would get on our knees. It would be that way for us. The heart of your boss is in the hand of the Lord too. The heart of your banker is in the hand of the Lord too. Are you all listening? The heart of your landlord is in the hand of the Lord too. People all around you, people that affect you, people that have an influence or that you are part of their life, that they can help you, they can be a blessing to you, they could be the answer to your prayer. God can control their life too, just like he did the king here. 4 months of asking God. 4 months of begging God. Hey, try it sometime. Before you talk to the man, why not talk to God? Before you tremble at the door of the man, oh, I'm scared, why not get before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Amen. And talk to him about the thing. I mean, before I'm trying to work up enough strength to go to these people and ask them this, why not go to God, who says, ye have not because ye ask not. He wants to. Look real quick. 1 Kings 3. I got to show you. You're not excited yet. 1 Kings 3. And verse 5. 1 Kings 3, 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. That's pretty good, isn't it? Just ask. You say, I wish it were that simple. It is. You say, well, but preach, you don't understand. I went to my boss. I talked to the bank. I talked to these people. Wait a minute. Go to God. Go to God first for 4 months. Beg God. Ask God. Pray to God. Try it. Before you make requests of man, before you ask a man for something, why not ask God first? People call all the time. I mean, we get calls every day. Could you help us out with gas? Could you help us out with money for food? Could we come and get food? Could we, and sometimes somebody will get through to me and I'll actually talk to them and I'll say, did you pray about this? You know what they're doing? They're going through the yellow pages, finding every church they can call. Hello? We do that though, don't we? You maybe don't get out the yellow pages, but you go to every man you can first. Why not go to God? That's all I'm saying. Do you understand? Nehemiah did not even go to the king about this thing. Did he need the king's help? He didn't know. He went to the King of Kings. He didn't care how the King of Kings built those walls, but he knew that the King of Kings would do it. Nehemiah didn't knock on the king's door. He didn't have to come to the king and say, oh, king, don't kill me. I got a request to make. He didn't even have to bow down to the king. He just did his job. That's all. He was just doing his job. And God provided. You see, the king knew because God opened the door to his heart so he would know. The king knew there was a request because God told him there was a request. Because God told him, hey, king, you're going to help that fella out. I wonder how many people God would tell to help you out if you would just go to God and talk to him about that. I'll be honest with you. God's told me to help people out before. Are you all listening tonight? I mean, God has told me to help people out. Now, the only way I can figure that happened is that person was praying. I get pretty excited about stuff like that. If God tells me to give somebody $10, for example, I get excited about that because I figure that person must be really praying for $10. If a person comes up to me and says, could you give me $10? I'm not as excited. Now, sometimes I might do it, but most of the time, I won't do it. You know what I like? I like when they ask God and God tells me, that's fun. Old Artaxerxes, I mean, come on, he's being used by God here. Pretty exciting for a Persian king. Some of you still aren't excited. Let me explain it this way. Remember the Gulf War, the first one, the Operation Desert Storm, I think it was called, way back in the 90s. And something doesn't sound right about that. But I remember hearing all about the Republican Guard. You know, remember hearing about the Republican Guard? Oh, they're going to tear us up. Oh, when our troops go in to face that Republican Guard, it's going to be devastating. Those men are trained fighting machines. Well, we bombed them. And we just bombed them. And we bombed them. We bombed them night and day. We bombed them. Bombs flew from the sky on their heads and all around them. Boom, boom, boom. And the Republican Guard, they say, when our troops moved in, every area where there was Republican Guard, you know what they saw? They saw big white flags. Hey, they're waiting to fight. They're scared. They're thinking, hey, these guys are going to come. No, don't kill us. Stop the bombs. I like that strategy. You know, that's what praying is, folks. It's bombing. You know, it's just getting everything all ready. And you know, when the time comes, old Artaxerxes, he didn't have a choice. Oh, quick. What do you want, Nehemiah? Please, what do you want? I want to help you. Do you understand? He's gonna send a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the forest, and say, give him all the trees he wants. What's Nehemiah asked for? He didn't talk to Artaxerxes. He talked to a king bigger. You're still not excited. I'm going to tell you something. And you mark this down. I don't know if anybody else has ever said this. If not, you can give the quote to me. But confidence before men comes from walking with God. You'll never shrink before men if you walk with God. And you mark my words for that. You're not going to be, you won't be embarrassed in front of royalty if you just walked with God. You will not feel lower than a president if you just walked with God. Nehemiah knew his job. He knew his position. He was doing his job. But not one time, I guarantee not one time, did he feel like somehow he was in the presence of someone greater than the one he'd been in the presence with for 4 months on his knees, weeping and begging of the God of gods. And Artaxerxes, you know, Nehemiah's just waiting on something to happen. You know, Christians that walk with God, they're just always waiting on something to happen. Amen. They just, it's like, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? Is this it? You're still not excited. By the way, this works with soul winning. Because if you've walked with God, you don't have to worry. Whoever stands behind, you know, they open that door, it doesn't matter who they are. If they have a tattoo of mom on their forehead and they're 6'10" and weigh 400 pounds, it doesn't matter. If you just walk with God, no man's going to intimidate you. God's provision. Number two is Nehemiah's pause. I like this. Now I'm going to teach you something here. You're going to learn something, and you may not get excited because so far we're not doing too hot. But notice what it says in verse 4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I, Nehemiah, and he's pausing here. Now you need to really, really think about this. So I, and he pauses. Okay, we have a question from the king. For what dost thou make request? And the Bible says, Nehemiah said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. And somewhere in that little period of time right there, a little pause, you know what Nehemiah did? He asked God. Now, I like that. Wait a minute. Chapter 1, verse 11, look at it. Chapter 1, 11. We just read this. Notice what he says. The last part, he says, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. That was his prayer. Grant him mercy. Lord, he says, prosper thy servant this day. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. And he prays that over and over. And guess what? Right now, his pause, I call this his pause. And the Bible says, so I prayed. You know what he does? He just continues his prayer that he's been praying for 4 months. Here's the mercy. God not only gave the mercy that Nehemiah asked for, but he also threw in some grace. First of all, the king didn't kill him. Second of all, it was the king's idea. And the king says, what do you want? Nehemiah hadn't asked a thing. That's an amazing, amazing way for God to answer the prayer. God, I prosper me. Help me somehow to convey this to this man. Keep me safe, God. Work it out, God, however you see fit. But see, for 4 months, he talked about all this with God. He was abiding with God. He didn't, you know, at this point when the king says, for what dost thou make request? He didn't say, God, I haven't talked to you in a long time. What am I going to do? That's how some of us live. We call that in my Sunday school class, crisis praying. And that's the only prayer life many folks know. No, Nehemiah, he's been talking to God. He's talking to God while he's talking to the king. In his mind, he's talking to God. Hey, you know, God, he just talked to me about my countenance. Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to look like I'm sad or anything like that, but, well, maybe you'll use this. And all of a sudden, God's using it. Nehemiah is excited. God, you hear what he just said? He just made a request. He just wanted to know what I want. God, what do I want? He just kept talking to God. It's good, isn't it? I'm having a good time. He didn't say, do you remember me, God? Been a while, hadn't it? No, daily. You know, every morning, he woke up in the morning, he thought about Jerusalem and the walls. Every night as he went to bed, he thought about Jerusalem and the broken down walls. You know what? When one thing, listen to me, here's another quote by Rogers if you want to write it down. When one thing absorbs all that we do, something's going to happen involving that one thing. I'm telling you, if something, I don't care what it is, if it absorbs everything that you do, something's going to happen. You're not going to be absorbed in one thing. By the way, that can be a good thing or a bad thing. Some of you are absorbed with the internet, and it's taking you down. You're absorbed. I mean, that one thing, that one chat room, it's got you hooked. It's why you've done nothing for God in a long, long time. It's why your families, things aren't going too hot. When one thing occupies or absorbs everything we do, I got news for you. Something's going to happen involving that one thing. It's kind of like, you know, the opposite sex coworker that you have. They're absorbing an awful lot of your time. You're headed for trouble. It happens. It happens all the time. But I want to think about this as a good thing. That one thing, I'm telling you, Nehemiah was absolutely absorbed with the idea that the walls of Jerusalem were down and his people were not safe. God's provision, Nehemiah's pause, number three is Nehemiah's prayer. In verse 4, so I prayed. Now, you know, I just want you to think about his prayer. Okay, here's the king. Right here, the king says, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed. And then he answered. In other words, in his mind, he's talking to God. In his mind, he hadn't hung up from the last time he talked to God. This is so good. I think in his mind, he's thinking, God, did you hear that? God, did you hear what the king just said? God, this is what we've been waiting for. Kind of like, hey, we're a team on this thing, God. Did you hear what the king just said? This is good, isn't it? I wish you'd live your life like that. You'd have more fun that way. You would not be frowning all the time. Amen. I think it's something like that. God, did you just hear that? Now he's looking at the king and he's keeping dignified. The king says, for what dost thou make request? And in Nehemiah's mind, he goes, God, did you hear that? Did you hear the king wants to know what we want? God, what do we want? God, please don't let me blow this. You ever think like that? Oh, I've been there many, many times. It's like when you're soul winning. And you know, you look at the person and you've got it all figured out in your mind. This isn't going to work and it's not good. And the person all of a sudden, you know, you say, you probably wouldn't want to get saved, would you? And they say, yes, what must I do to be saved? And you go, God, did you hear them? What do I do now? And God wouldn't call us a dummy, but you know he's got to be thinking that. Show them how. Amen. I mean, Nehemiah doesn't want to blow it here. This is the answer to the prayer. Let me tell you some things about Nehemiah's prayer real quick, all right? First of all, capital A, it was sudden. It was sudden. I'm talking about between the king's question and Nehemiah's answer. It was sudden. Let me tell you, there's a great, great lesson in this. And I hope you'll get this, because I'm telling you, many, many folks have failed at sudden times like Nehemiah faced right here. Many times we fail at sudden. And listen to me, that's why it's crucial to walk with God. It's crucial to don't hang up. You know, don't hang up. Stay on the line with God. Keep talking to God. You know, as Nehemiah was serving the king, he was talking to God. In his mind, he was communicating with God. The king says, why is that countenance so sad? And I'm sure Nehemiah said, Lord, I don't mean to look sad. Do I look sad, God? I'm trying to be happy, God. And Nehemiah's talking to God. He doesn't hang up. That's why it's crucial for you to walk with God and stay on the line. Because listen, prayer should precede everything that we make a decision on. It was sudden. Listen to me. Sudden choices happen all the time. Are you listening? Stay with me now. Sudden choices of right or wrong that'll change your life one way or the other. They happen all the time. Sudden choices. Well, I'll have to go to my prayer room and talk to God. Not all the time. There's not always that opportunity. And if that's the only time you talk to God, you are not, you're going to be in trouble most of the time of your life. Because most of the time, you're not near your prayer room. Sudden choices. Sudden choices. I'm talking about decisions of right and wrong that'll change your life one way or the other if you don't make the right decision. How about sudden actions that happen? You know, when is the last time something struck you as making you mad, but you stopped and said, Lord, could you help me not to get mad about this? Because you're already talking to him. How about sudden impulses to buy things? Impulse buying will kill us. That's why some of you should never even get near a credit card. When they say you're approved, throw it in the trash. Because impulse buying destroys you. Because you can't handle it. Because you won't stop and say, Lord, do I really need, this is my 10th one of these. Do I really need 15 onion choppers? I know it's a good price, but do I really need this, God? You see what I'm talking about? If you talk to God, amen. Sudden choices, sudden actions. Here's another thing that gets us in trouble, sudden fear. Sudden fear. We do strange things when we're scared. Uh-huh. Peer pressure. You'll do strange things when you're afraid what everybody else will think. But if you could stop and just talk to God, God, is there anything I need to worry about here? Or should I just go ahead and do right? He'll help you. And in a case like this, how about a sudden answer? Sudden answer. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Before you say, how about, God, I need to know what to say. What am I going to say? God, I don't know what to say. God, what should I say? Did you hear what the king just said? What am I going to say, God? And so I prayed to the God of heaven. You don't really think that in verse 4, Nehemiah said, excuse me, king and queen, oh God! And prayed for an hour? No, because somewhere along the line, we might have heard the words, off with his head. And Nehemiah would be 2 chapters and 4 verses long. Hey, you know what he did? He did what we should do. He talked with God and just kept talking to God. He just stayed on the line. Amen. He just stayed. The other day, I was on the phone talking to somebody. It took me a long time to get the number, and I had to wait on hold. You know how you wait on hold. Yeah. And anyway, I waited on hold, and I didn't want to lose it. And so I got another call on my cell phone. So I had my cell phone. I said, and I had them both up here. Well, that'll scramble your brain. And I said to this person over here, I said, could you hold on just a minute? I don't want to leave. Do not hang up. Do not leave. Stay. And then I talked to this person over here. And back and forth. And what this person said had to do with what this person. So I didn't let them talk through my head, but I could have done that. But it was important that I not, if I would have talked to this person and I'd have hung up on this person, had to get back with that person, we never would got accomplished what we got accomplished. And I don't even remember what it was. Somebody here saw it because you walked in. Was that you walked in that when I had both phones up on my head? I don't know. Somebody did. Who was it? Do you remember? There, Kevin did. And then Kevin. You had Kevin to a phone here and a phone there. I'm telling you, it was a busy day. But you know, it's why? Why? You know, well, I talked to God this morning, but I had all this crisis this afternoon. Keep talking to him all day. Just keep him right there. And when the king says, so what do you need? Be ready. Be ready. When the lost person says, what must I do to be saved? Be ready. King, Lord, what do you want me to tell him? Sudden. The pressure of sudden. Stay with me now. Here's another quote by Rogers. The pressure of sudden is eliminated by a walk with God. There is no pressure when you're walking with God. There isn't any pressure. Sudden is no big deal. Sudden is no pressure. Because, God, what do I do? What do I say? There, he suddenly prayed. He suddenly prayed. Do you understand? There are many wrong answers he could have given. There are always many wrong answers. I want to give the right one. There are many wrong choices. I want to make the right choice. There are many wrong actions. I want to make the right action. Okay, Nehemiah prayed. He prayed. Right there. Suddenly. Quickly. He prayed. Do you understand? You say, what could possibly be a wrong? Well, you know what? A wrong answer could have been, he could have forgotten his burden all of a sudden because the king made a request. Is it possible for Satan to sort of bring out the carnality in Nehemiah? Watch this. Again, the end of Nehemiah at verse 4. Nehemiah, the king says, for what dost thou make request? Ding! And carnality kicks in. Well, you know, king, there is a mansion on the other side of town. I've kind of been looking at it, and I kind of admired it, and you know what? I think I'd like to have that mansion. Ding! Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, the end. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. That's right. Wait a minute. Do you understand? That's where we live a lot of times, isn't it? Yeah. For what dost thou make request? Ding, carnality kicks in. You know, king, I need a lot of money. Oh, he wouldn't be the first person that forgot his burden. He wouldn't be the first missionary who didn't go. Right? It's like this. Businessman comes up to the missionary and says, you know, I've watched your mission work that you're attempting here, and I've seen you go out and earn lots and lots of money, and I've watched you do this very, very well. You know, in my business, we have a place for you. Ding! Carnality kicks in. Now, I need an answer right now. What would you like to do? Would you like to come be my vice president for $500,000 a year? Ding! The end of the mission field. for a man that was supposed to go? Yeah. But you know what? The pressure of sudden is eliminated when you walk with God. Because you can talk to God at any time, any place. He could have forgotten his burden. I'm afraid that happens to many of our prayer requests. We forget our burden. Hello, and we make a sudden wrong decision. Number one, or capital A, it was sudden. Capital B, it was silent. He didn't bow. He didn't make a scene. He was mentally in tune with God. That's the result of abiding with Christ. Wait a minute. Doesn't that explain? Keep your place here. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. That was one of the first verses I memorized. You know why? Short. Verse 19 is one of my favorites too. But I love verse 16. Because they're short. But I'm going to tell you, pray without ceasing. How, you know, the first time I heard that, I had in my mind what prayer was. In my mind, prayer was, O heavenly God, which sitteth upon the rim of the earth, which controlleth the world and all that therein there is. You know, and those kind of things. And I thought, how can I keep doing that all day long? People think I'm not normal. But I found out you can talk to God all the time. I'm going to tell you how here in just a minute. It's a result of abiding. Philippians 4, verse 6, look at it. Philippians 4, verse 6. By the way, it's not the only way. We should talk audibly to God. We should have that time. We should take that time every day, several times a day, to talk to God. I'm not eliminating that. You know, somebody says, well, I'll just stay in my pew and make my decision. That's you're just scared somebody will see you go forward. They might think you've sinned. Oh, perish the thought. Look what it says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. How can I do that in everything? I don't even remember at the end of the day. Well, preacher, you know, I pray my prayer list every morning. I forgot what happened yesterday. That's because what you're supposed to do is, as things happen, you talk to God about it. How do I do that? I'm glad you asked. Proverbs 3, verse 6. Here's a verse we all know. We know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But look at verse 6. Proverbs 3, 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. What in the world is that talking about? I'm glad you asked that too. Acknowledge means recognize he's there. Or is he? If you hung up, he's not. If you didn't, he is. It's recognize he's there. Include him in the conversation. That's acknowledging him. I mean, if I'm talking, all right, if I'm talking to Kelvin over here, and Matt is in the room, and so Kelvin and I are talking and everything, I'm going to look over at Matt every now and then and say, what do you think, Matt? You know, I'm going to talk to him. You know, Kelvin's talking to me saying, preacher, you know, we should have boxed out in that game. And I say, you know, you're right. We didn't box out very well, or we didn't box out very well either. And Matt, what do you think about that? And Matt would say, oh, it's true. We didn't. But Kelvin and I keep talking, athletic director and pastor, talking about this subject. But we're acknowledging Matt because Matt's there. It'd be rude not to acknowledge Matt. We're rude when we don't acknowledge God in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. He's there. Include him in the conversation. Lord, you hear what the king just said? King just said, what dost thou make request? I think he wants to know what we want, God. What do we want, God? Could we tell him? By the way, Nehemiah knows God's already part of this thing. Because he turned the heart of the king. Man, this is good. I'm having a good time today. It was silent. Because he recognized that God was part of the conversation. Aren't we a temple? Amen. Isn't there somewhere in the Bible says we're a temple, the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't that indicate that the Holy of Holies, isn't the Holy of Holies inside the temple? Well, doesn't that mean the Holy Spirit's in me? Can I communicate with Him? Aren't I supposed to? What's it mean to quench the Holy Spirit? What's it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, I think it has to do with turning Him off. I think it has to do with hanging up. I mean, why can't we talk to God while things happen in our lives so we do make the right choices and we do the right actions and we give the right answers? Amen. It was sudden, it was silent, it was suitable. You'll notice here, if you study Nehemiah, Nehemiah used his favorite name for God, God of Heaven. So I prayed to the God of Heaven. That's his favorite name for God. It was an intimate time for Nehemiah. God just answered his prayer. So, God of Heaven, in his mind, the king is looking right at him. The queen is looking. The queen's already worried about his countenance. Oh, that poor man, he's going to shrivel up and die. Help him, king, help him. Please, king. I can just see it. I love that. And Nehemiah said, God of Heaven, what do I do? I want to give the right answer. This is what I begged you for 4 months. By the way, you pray 4 months, you're excited when that answer comes. You are so excited. You can't hardly stand it. You'd almost smile. It was suitable. You know what else is suitable? He prayed while he was doing his job. I get so mad. A lot of things make me mad. No, I didn't read the newspaper and read a religious article. Not this time. I just get mad when I think about people whining about prayer not being in the public schools. And I, you know, honestly, you can, what do you mean prayer's not in the public schools? Prayer can be anywhere you pray. Amen. Anywhere. Do you know, I've been in the courthouse a few times. And when I'm in the courthouse, I talk to God. Well, it's a government. What about the separation of church and... They can't stop me from talking to God. I was in the courthouse the other day and prayed. You say, preacher, you've been in a lot of trouble, haven't you? Well, I didn't want to tell you. I got news for you. I promise you this. If things get as bad as what they could get and they come to arrest me, I promise I'm going to be talking to God a whole lot. Well, that's against the Constitution. I'm going to talk to Him anyway. You're not going to know it. So I prayed, he said. So I prayed to the God of Heaven. It was suitable. He prayed while he was doing his job. Why don't you pray on the job? I'm not talking about, you know, bless God, my preacher told me to pray, and while the machine indexed, I got on my knees, and I bowed my head, and I got my arm caught in the machine. It took it off. I'm not talking about that. Don't do that. Okay, do not do that and blame me. Workman's comp, they will have a fit with that. All right, don't do that. Talk to God in your heart, in your mind. Talk to him. That's what Nehemiah did. Talk to him. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. You students in school, you know, the teacher's teaching on something, and instead of being a rebel and I don't even care about, if you don't understand it, say, God, help me understand this stuff. I need to understand it. I need to know what a verb is, God. They tell me I'm going to have this the rest of my life. I might as well learn it. God, I need to know what 2 plus 2 is. Please, please, God, show me 9 times 6. Please. It was suitable. Asking God for the answer, because God knows what's best. Always. Nehemiah was so, he was smart enough to understand, okay, if I'm going to get my answer to prayer here, if this is my opportunity, my one opportunity here, to get the walls built in Jerusalem that I begged God for 4 months, I'm gonna let God tell me what to say. It was suitable. Capital D, it was simple. Peter said, as he walked on water, but he looked at the waves, he said a very simple prayer. Lord, save me! Many would have said, oh, thou God,
Thou Jehovah God, which art the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to tell you, you better learn how to talk to God. It was simple. It was simple. In my mind, Brother Letson, and I go through this thing and I think about Nehemiah, and he's looking right at the king and the queen, because it would have been totally disrespectful for him to take his eyes away from them. And the king says, "For what dost thou make request?" His mind had to be going real quick. God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Might have been the first instance of tongues. Amen. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Anyway, it's got to be, boy. You know. But you know what? The last thing under this, capital E, it was successful because he made the right request. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. And that brings me to number four, Nehemiah's plan. And I said unto the king, after I prayed, amen, I said unto the king, if it please the king, I like that. Amen. And if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, he already knows he has. Hello? That's good stuff. If it please the king, he knows the king's pleased. If thy servant have found favor in thy sight, he knows he has. He's confident. Are you listening to me? He's very confident here. He knows this thing's about to happen. That thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres. That I, boy, get this, that I may build it. Now here's what I've been thinking about, because I do a lot of thinking on this stuff. And I really think right about there is when Nehemiah realized he was going to do it. Probably shouldn't do that. I think Nehemiah just all of a sudden realized that's what God wants. God, what do I say? What do I do? Oh, you tell him you're going to go build the wall. I'm going to go build the wall? Yeah. Yeah. It had to be quick. King says, for what dost thou make request? God, what do you want me to say? Tell him you're going to go build the wall. Okay. Are you sure, God? You want me to go build the wall? I'm going to go build the wall? Yeah. 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 See, I don't think Nehemiah knew before this. Now, maybe God had shown him some things. I don't know. But I get the indication here. I really don't think so. I think this was a process. The 4 months was a process of God putting it in his heart. Because he got it. In verse 12, he said, God had put in my heart to do it Jerusalem. It wasn't something he concocted on his own. God put that on his heart. And you know what? That's when a Christian will say, well, that's why I don't ever ask God anything. He'll have me do something. And that's why you don't get what you pray for. Do you know sometimes God wants you to put feet to your prayers? A lot of times that's what he wants. Nehemiah's plan, it was very, very simple, that I may build. I thought, I'm going to go build this wall. Yeah, king, I'd like you to send me to Judah that I may build. I love that. You know, do you understand in verses 4, 5, and 6, a lot of stuff happens right there? That is so powerful. That thing you're praying for, and you've now prayed a week, you've prayed 2 weeks, you've prayed 3 weeks, maybe four, maybe five. Has it dawned on you that your heart's starting to get kind of soft toward that thing? Has it dawned on you that that now, you know, maybe God's going to have you do something in that? Well, I understand. We'd love for God just to do everything. But has it started to dawn on you? Well, maybe God will use me. Nehemiah's plan. Number five, the last thing, that's the prosperity. Verse 6, the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? Nehemiah, I know he's telling God, you know, Lord, we're going to have to give him an answer on this thing. I'm not real sure. And when wilt thou return? But watch what it says. So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. It pleased the king. Wait a minute. In Esther, it said you couldn't, don't even go to the king. Okay, don't, it is not proper, it is not right to go to the king unless the king calls for you. Nehemiah didn't. He never asked the king anything. The king asked him. You know why? Because God turned the heart of the king so that the king would be pleased to do whatever Nehemiah requested. It kind of looks like the king was even excited about the thing. Probably more excited than many Baptists, and he's a Persian. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying do all you can do and then watch God do what he can do. He can do some great, great things. You know, you read your Bible. Make sure you read all of it. Make sure you understand it. Make sure you go through it and maybe put yourself here. I have it underlined, circled, and little doodads all around verse 4. I prayed to the God of heaven. You'll never, ever, ever, ever tremble in front of a king when you're walking with God every day. You just won't. Let's bow our heads, please.